something. And for some reason, we're not getting theme music this week, so you'll just add that to the list of fun conversations I'm going to have with Blog Talk at the end of this show. Welcome to the Sports Club. I'm Jeremy the Impact York, joined once again by my tag team partner, Cody Elias from the West Coast. How you doing, Cody?
Jeremy, glad to be back on, man. I hope everything's well.
Besides no theme music, apparently, but we're doing pretty good.
Welcome to Radio 101.
Right? Oh yeah, I could. I'm not saying I could easily do your job out there, but I could be a good producer because every possible thing that could happen during a show has happened to me at some point, so I know how to fix all this.
Well, here's the key: what you do, you blame the producer every time something goes wrong. It's never your fault. Always cast the blame on the producer. It's always their fault.
And unfortunately, we're short-staffed today on producers, so if I made this particular producer run a lap, we wouldn't really have many other people left in the room. So after the show, you go on and get running. We'll just go on and put that out there. But yeah, fun. At least they don't make you run out there, right?
You'd be surprised at the things I have to do, but that is not one of them. That's correct.
Maybe I need to put in a word with a few of them out there, and I don't know. You might be in impeccable shape. You might be the next decathlon athlete by the time we're done.
You know, that's actually one of the things we discussed before. Us producers out here have discussed doing the combine where we all run the 40 to be the fastest. Unfortunately, with the guys I work with, I'm sure I would win because we've got a great staff there, but I wouldn't say they're all in the best athletic shape.
Yeah, and I'm not in the world's best shape either, even though I like to do – charity 5Ks and such. It's not that I put up great times. Every athlete I've met wants me to run the 40. So one day I'm going to actually video it and put it up. And I warn everybody that it's probably going to be an hour and a half for me to run the 40, but just bear with me. And hopefully I don't die.
I'll take you over Rich Eisen any day, buddy.
Hey, I'll take that as that's one of my goals is to meet Rich Eisen, and the other goal is to race him. But, you know, since we're talking NFL, let's go ahead and get that out of the way. There will be a part during this conversation where I will go ahead and warn the audience. There's a good chance that Cody will get mad at me because I think we look at the draft two different ways. But that's what makes this fun, and that's what makes us good friends is that we can get over it and not hold each other accountable. But we'll start with the proverbial – obviously, your team being the 49ers, or if you want to go Raiders as well, how do you think your team did?
You know, I actually really like what the Niners did. With John Lynch, first-time GM, Kyle Shanahan, first-time head coach, I like what they did. They fleeced the Bears for that draft pick for Mitchell Trubisky because apparently they really thought the 49ers were going to take him. I'm going to dive into that for a second. I don't see the hype in this kid. I like the comparisons to Mark Sanchez because – 1 year, one year for Sanchez at USC, 1 year for Trubisky at UNC, playing the ACC, playing his lesser competition. There's not, Clemson's in there, but that's really about it. You got Pittsburgh, they beat Pittsburgh, who beat Clemson and Penn State this year. Sorry, a little shout out to my hometown college team. But Trubisky has, they really like him. He has the intangibles. I was more of a Deshaun Watson guy, so. You know, we'll see how it turns out. But John Lynch, that's a great trade for what he did to the Bears to get all the, all the third-round picks back. And then taking Solomon Thomas, the pass rusher from Stanford, if you want to watch how good he is, just watch that final game, that bowl game against UNC when Stanford played them. And he just dominated that game. So that was a good pick. Getting Reuben Foster at the end of the first round was, a guy that a lot of people had the top, top 10, top 5. That was a steal for John Lynch. So, a lot of people give them an A. I don't do draft grades because I'm not a scout, but if I had to do a grade, I'd give them an A too because they got some – just those two picks in the first round alone were great. If Reuben Foster can live up to the hype, a lot of Patrick Willis comparisons, which is great for people out here because everyone knows what P. Willie means to the Bay Area and to the 49ers. That'd be great. That'd be great value for John Lynch on his first draft. He's already drafted better than Trent Baalke did in the last 5 years. So, the 49ers are already winning in that aspect.
Right. And, yeah, I was looking at what NFL Network graded the 49ers. They got day one was an A, day two was a C+. Eh, whatever. We know about grades. They're all what they think. Day three was an A, overall a B+. I'd give an A overall because one of my favorite moments of the first round was, like you said, the fact that for some reason the Bears thought that the 49ers wanted Mitchell Trubisky. Apparently that's one of the best internet rumors that we could say hashtag fake news. Even the 49ers came out and said, hey, we thought they wanted Solomon Thomas. We were ready to move on to the next guy. And then we watched Trubisky go off the board and just looked at each other and went, okay, let's go ahead and get our guy.
I just, you know, the Bears are GM Ryan Pace and John Fox. I mean, I like that what John Fox said, how he didn't even know they were going to draft him. And then, you know, Mike Glennon feels disrespected. If you're Mike Glennon, how would you feel? They just signed into that deal. You're getting $19 million guaranteed. I guess you can't complain too much, but they signed you to be the guy in Chicago. Then they go out and draft a quarterback in, with the second pick. The best thing from the entire first round was the Bears draft, like the Bears draft party reaction. They showed the fans, and they're all like, oh, why? Oh, they're all disappointed. I thought that was really great.
No, see, the best part was the hidden gem to find out of where Mike Glennon was when he found out. The Bears had sent him on a PR mission to go to, yeah. I guess it was a team-sanctioned draft party. So here he is, you know, signing autographs, taking pictures, kissing babies, you know, shaking hands, all this fun stuff. And then with the second overall pick, the Bears have moved up, and they take Mitchell Trubisky. I mean, at some point, he's got to go, oh, forget this. I'm going home.
You know, I agree with you. And I when I read that about Glennon being at a draft party, I was just like, man, that's such a slap in the face. How would you feel? That's like you're at your job, and you know they're like, yeah, we want you to be here. You know, we really like what you're doing, and then they bring in the guy that's going to replace you. It's like, oh, well, sorry, we wanted to bring him in, and you know, no pressure at all.
Exactly. It's like if out there they said, hey, Cody, I need you to go to the airport and pick up our newest guy here at the station. You're like, okay, cool. And you go there, and it's, you know, I just forgot his name, your buddy from Colin's show. And you're like, ooh, this is probably not going to go good for me.
Oh, you know what, Glay?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can pick up John. No, I wouldn't. He can take Uber. He can afford it.
Right? Exactly. No, but I mean, you know what I mean, though. It's just like at any job, if all of a sudden here at Impact Media, they said, yeah, can you go to the Uber stand there and just escort our new guy in? And I go out there, and it's like Dan Patrick. And I'm like, I don't know if there's room at the end for me if Dan Patrick just walked through the door.
Yeah, exactly. That's a big name. I mean, we're going pretty deep here with that.
Yeah. I was shooting for the moon there, probably shooting for Pluto. Apparently it's still not a planet, but that's neither here nor there. But just throwing out a name that our audience would identify with, and to go ahead and get the proverbial Colin and Dan references out of the way.
That's fine with me. You know, working for a Fox Sports affiliate, I'm actually a big, I don't know how this is going to go over in Atlanta, but I really enjoy listening to Clay Travis, but I'm going to leave it there because He went after taxi Oakland guy. Can't say much. Clay ripped him apart, and you know, do I agree with it? No. Do I like listening to Clay? Yes. But yeah, looks like it's time. I'm sure that I probably half our listening audience just tuned out because I mentioned Clay's name.
Probably so. But then again, you know, those two people will probably come back and listen to us later anyway. So. You know, we will digress. And, you know, as far as the Raiders, let's see how the grades looked on there. They had a solid B+ on all 3 days. The only real thing, and I know everybody else has been talking about it, the only real thing that I would question is how the Gary and Conley thing plays out. Because if it pans out, it's going to be a fantastic steal. If it doesn't pan out and you pretty much lose his entire career because of all the legal stuff going on, then you kind of have to look around a little bit. But it is a need that they actually needed. You know, it'd be different if it was like a backup quarterback they took the shot on, but being a corner, it's interesting to see how this plays out.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And a lot of people were really perplexed by that move because they were, you know, a lot of people didn't want the Raiders to take him. You got the whole Fred Biletnikoff domestic violence, where his daughter was killed by domestic violence, and Mark Davis has a staunch stance on, that's why they mentioned Joe Mixon's name a few times. Everyone's like, why would the Raiders draft him? You got everything, Freddie Biletnikoff and all that. So Jerry Conley, he's a top 15, player in the draft, and then this happened. It was such a weird story. But, one guy from the Raiders I really like, and shout out, may the fourth be with you because of the name, Obi Melifonwu from the state from Connecticut. I really like this kid coming out of UConn. I watched him play a few times for UConn. He's a big dude. He can play multiple positions. I was actually hoping the Raiders would have gotten Jabril Peppers before they put Gary and Conley because they wanted to pick after. But getting Melifonwu, that's a really nice pick. I think he's going to fit in well for the Raiders. I mean, Carl Joseph and the safety back there with Reggie Nelson and, Conley and Sean Smith and David Emerson, they could have a decent secondary that got torched a lot last year, especially in the AFC West when you have Phillip Rivers throwing for 400 yards every game because they don't stop him on defense. He's always out there. So this is a good move to match up because you see that, and they also, with the Chargers drafting Mike Williams, the Chargers had another weapon, and then with their that's why they go with Gary and Conlin and help match with that, which is a smart move by Reggie McKenzie. Stick with the AFC West and Sarmons throws out there. What do you think of the Patrick Mahomes pick at 10? Do you think that's a reach by Andy Reid?
I actually said earlier today at lunch over a conversation that I felt like all three quarterbacks were a reach in the first round, but I totally understood because the Bears moved up the way they did, they caused some of the orders to be thrown off and they kind of rattled some cages. So I kind of knew somebody was moving up. Andy Reid does need to think about the future, so I trust in Patrick Mahomes going there. And I agree with you. I'm a Deshaun Watson guy because I got to see him play a lot out here, and all he did was dominate and win in big games. So the fact the Texans moved up for him, I mean, the Texans should smoke their division. And as far as Andy Reid, I think he just made sure that they're either going to be 1 or 1A in that division. You're going to have to come through Kansas City this year.
No, I agree, because Kansas City was the one in the division last year, too. And, again, yep. I feel bad for Alex Smith as being a Niner fan. I've always liked Alex Smith. He got one year left on his deal. Who knows what's going to happen with that. But, going back to Deshaun Watson, I like the pick, but, it's hard for me to root for him his first year or two in Houston because I'm a Tom Savage guy because he's at a Pitt, so I can't root against the Pitt guy. But I think Watson's going to end up winning that job, and I agree with you. The Texans, they should easily win that division, although Indianapolis could maybe do something if Andrew Luck cannot get sacked 100 times every year, and who knows what's going to happen on Jacksonville. I think the team in that division to watch is Tennessee. I like what they did in the draft.
Yep.
They added Corey Davis, the receiver. I like that move, and then they got the Adoree Jackson with the 18th pick. I really like what they did there. So Tennessee had a solidly quiet, nice draft, and hopefully Mariota comes back healthy because I think they can really push the Texans to that division because they did finish second with that 9-7 record, and they were right there at the end. So we'll see. I mean, like I said, I agree with you but on all the quarterbacks. I think it was a reach. Another big reach was the quarterback that did not took C.J. Beathard from Iowa. I don't understand that at all. Kyle Shanahan said that he reminded him of Kirk Cousins. He played at Iowa.
Does he remind him of him in a dark room during a masquerade party at a police lineup? Or, I mean, I'm not seeing the similarity either.
No, this that pick kind of reminds me of last year when they took Jeff Driscoll, in like the fifth round.
Oh,
and I was like, Driscoll could be the next quarterback. It's like, get the hell out of here. No way. But the Niners' next quarterback, the writing's on the wall. I think they're going to get Cousins after the season. It just makes too much sense with him and Shanahan. The Niners have all that salary cap money. Why would you? They're an up and coming team. Hopefully, why would you not want to? If you're in, it's the Bay Area. The weather's always nice. If you're Kirk Cousins, why would you not want to come here? Nothing against the Redskins. I like the Washington football franchise. I like Jay Gruden. I like what they're doing there. But they lost so many pieces this offseason. So, and they're it's so disrespectful for Cousins, but he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league to still not get a long term deal. That shows that Dan Snyder does not doesn't value him and firing Scott McLuhan are, after, 2 years on the job and winning the division and then they just missed out on the playoffs this year. But I don't know why. Washington's a very dysfunctional franchise, and I thought the 49ers were bad, but what Washington's been doing as a winning team, it's head-scratching.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely agree. And, you know, if not for the Pegulas in Buffalo, Dan Snyder might be the worst owner in the NFL. The Pegulas continue to take the cake, and I could go on for an hour about what they've done to the Buffalo Sabres in the NHL, and they're in the process of doing with the Bills. But in the order of fairness, we will slightly move on, because I know you're on a limited time, and I wanted to get to a little bit more of this. For anybody that tuned in thinking we're going to talk a lot of Falcons, unfortunately not this week. We're hoping to actually have Reggie on in a couple weeks, and I actually want to hear his take first on some of the guys they took. And in all fairness, all of my fellow Cowboy fans, I'll just say this is one of the best marketing decisions we've ever made in bringing in a guy named Taco to the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I think we can sell a lot of food in doing this. I just hope we figure that out. Maybe Chipotle, maybe even a local place should sponsor this kid. And I thought Moe's would be good, because the commercial could walk in and they go, "Welcome to Moe's. What would you like?" And he could go, "I'd like a Taco Charlton." And it could be his special sandwich, and you could sell a billion of them and charge $15 for it, for all that matters.
Yeah, I like that pick. Going back to the Falcons real quick, I can't wait to hear Reggie's hot takes, because I'm sure the Falcons won the draft. They're going to win the Super Bowl next year. Don't worry, they're going to be really good. I can't wait for this.
Reggie, I think you just got called out. And my producer did remind me that two over-unders that we've mentioned already today, if you had, hopefully, the over-under was set at the 10-minute mark for a Star Wars reference. You should have had the under, thanks to Cody there. And as far as Andrew Luck getting sacked 100 times next year, we have set the over-under at 84. I would take the over.
That's a very good – I take that. You know what? I'm going to push. I think it's going to be 84, exactly the number. And number two,
okay,
as we speak right now, I am sitting here watching Star Wars Attack of the Clones. The marathon started. it's only 4:17 here on the West Coast. I'm going to try to power through at least two more movies tonight to get through it, and then we'll lead around to the weekend for episodes 5, 6, 7, and Rogue One.
And this is one of the parts that there may be a slight riff in between this. I have only seen one Star Wars movie, and it is the first one. So one day I'll sit down and watch these.
Hold on, wait. Now you're confusing people. Have you seen A New Hope or The Phantom Menace? Which one do you know by the first one?
I guess it's The Phantom Menace, Episode 1, the one with Jar Jar Binks.
Okay. Really? That's the only one you've ever seen?
Yeah, back in the day, I had an agreement with some people I knew that I was like, hey, all right, so I want to watch these Star Wars things in order. So we went and watched the first one, and then we went and watched whatever movie they wanted to watch. I don't know, like 40 Days and 40 Nights or something like that. Then the next one comes out, and suddenly nobody wants to go see it. So I kind of stopped it, too, and I haven't really – I've seen bits and pieces. Based off watching some movies with my in-laws the other day, I caught the tail end of one of them, so I know about particular characters that don't make it to other episodes, but one day I'll sit down and watch it.
You're lucky the FCC listens to this program, because I drop a lot of curse words right now. Because you threw Jar Jar Binks out there. Of all the Star Wars characters you can name, you threw out Jar Jar Binks, the one character that nobody likes.
I like him. I thought he was funny.
Yeah, that's what everyone says. Yeah, he's a real laugh. He's a hilarious guy. I wish that Vader would force choke him at some point.
He wasn't Vader yet. He was the little kid Anakin that was driving the cool little hovercraft things.
My favorite, that's a pod racer. My favorite character in Star Wars is Anakin Skywalker / Darth Vader. Big fan. I met Darth Vader last year at Disneyland. That was probably the greatest moment of my life, meeting Darth Vader. So I can't really, I mean, we're going to have to move on from this, because I can go on for the next hour about how you need to watch Star Wars. So have you seen Star Trek at least?
Are we talking movies or TV show?
Either.
I've seen bits and pieces of a couple movies, and I used to watch a little bit of the TV show just because the guy from Reading Rainbow was on it. LeVar Burton, is that his name?
Yeah,
LeVar Burton. All right. Yeah,
fair
no
enough.
Joke.
Right.
But also, you know, also like Patrick Stewart and people like that. So, I mean, I'll watch for other reasons later on. But, yeah, I don't know. It wasn't big when I grew up over this way. So maybe my generation missed out.
Picard, the best thing about Patrick's, you know, Patrick Stewart as Picard is the memes that they make of him when he's standing there and he has his hand out, and you can do the "Who the are you?" or "Who the is this guy?" Like, those are the best memes you can find on the internet.
Absolutely, but here's the part where you may officially, we may officially have to move on because before we come to blows. I know you're an analytics guy. You're a big stat-driven guy. I have no problem with that because I tend to learn a lot more from stat-driven people than I do from people with just general opinions, either off the top of their head or out of a certain other orifice. But to me, the draft, it reminds me of those contests at dealerships that you go to, at car dealerships, where everybody gets a key, but not all the keys start the vehicles. What kind of vehicle is your key going to start? Is it going to start any of it at all? Is it really the house key for the manager on the lot? You know, it seems like the whole thing is a crapshoot. You can use all the analytics you want to say that a guy's a great guy, and then you get a Jamarcus Russell and he flakes out and doesn't do anything.
In this aspect, when it comes to the draft, I agree with you. I know what it's like because as a huge baseball guy, I know exactly what it's like you can use all the numbers you want. This guy's a five-tool player. He's going to be the next big thing. He's going to be the next Hank Aaron. He's going to be the next Pedro Martinez. And they flame out. They don't make it to the majors. It's the same thing with football. Oh, he's the next Joe Montana. He never makes it. Ryan Leaf, next big thing. What happened to Ryan Leaf? He went to jail for a couple of years. So you never know what's going to happen. I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. You can use all the analytics you want. You can use all the advanced numbers. You can crunch the numbers. You can watch all the damn tape you want. It doesn't matter. How many times is
right.
Yes, Mel Kiper and Todd McShay and Matt Miller and all the other draft guys, they're great at what they do. I respect all of them. But how many times do they miss on guys? Everyone misses. Unless you're,
right.
for some reason, the Green Bay Packers and the Patriots, because they don't miss on anybody ever. Especially the Patriots. They don't miss on anyone.
Receivers a lot of times.
That's really about it. I mean, you can miss
on
receivers.
Yeah, that's it.
It's just receivers. They found that Brady guy from Michigan. He's pretty good. So I would say
that
they
found
a nice
199th overall. Yeah, that was 199th overall, fifth or sixth round. So I don't give them full credit on that. They get a couple bonus points on the end of the test for that.
You know who actually missed out on him? The other 198 picks that weren't Tom Brady, including the 49ers, about
right.
seven times in that draft because they passed him to take Giovanni Carmazzi from Hofstra, who now is like a sheep hoarder, goat farmer, or something now, living in the middle of nowhere. So that tells you how bad they were back then. So, but I agree with you about the draft. You never know what's going to happen. I'm gonna have to come out here and say it. As a former closet, now open Browns fan, because I love what Sashi Brown and Paul DePodesta are doing with that team because of analytics and Moneyball. I thought they had a great draft,
sure.
but you never know. I mean, I'm not a Deshaun Kizer guy. I'm a Notre Dame fan, but I'm not a Deshaun Kizer guy. He could not even get out Malik Zaire at the start of the season. And how's this guy supposed to be the next big thing in the NFL when he couldn't even win the job? So I hope
right.
he has a nice career there. I think the Browns had a nice draft. I think that them trading back and acquiring all the draft picks is the way to go because, I mean, you look at other sports, the NBA. The NBA, you tank unless you're the Sixers because you keep tanking, you don't win. Look at Edmonton in the NHL. They tanked for like 30 years, and they finally
yeah.
made it to the playoffs. So it works and doesn't work. You hit and miss. And Edmonton will tell you that. They've hit and miss on so many guys. When you hit with Connor McDavid and you hit with Eberle and you hit with other guys, it works out. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I wish some – I hope all the – you know, I can't really wish failure on anybody, but I really hope – I hope Myles Garrett has a productive career in Cleveland. I think the fans of Cleveland – deserve to have a winner finally because they've gone through so much.
Yeah.
So, I take it back. Mitchell, don't call me Mitch Trubisky. I don't think he's going to pan out Chicago. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I don't see that one working out. But the rest of them, I wish them the best of luck. But you're right. It's a crapshoot. You never know what's going to happen. And it's a waiting game, and all you can do is wait.
It's okay. At the end of June, I will be in Chicago for – oddly enough, I'm going to miss the NHL draft by about 3.5 days, which is kind of bummer. But I'll be late June. I'll be in Chicago for a family wedding on my wife's side. So I have already packed my Nashville Predators gear to wear while I'm up there, and I will have as many Trubisky jokes as I can by the time I get there as well.
I'm going to have to talk about Nashville, man. I
right?
They're incredible. Pekka Rinne is unbelievable right now. that just the what that run they've had so far, the sweep in Chicago, which I did not see happening. I don't think anyone saw it happening. So that was incredible. Make sure you go to Chicago. Please go to Wrigley. Have you ever been to Wrigley?
Yes, I went last time I was there, and oddly enough, my wife had. She said, "Where do you want to sit?" And I said, "Oh, I want to sit in the bleachers." She goes, "Of all the times I've been here, I've never sat in the bleachers." And I almost hit the floor. I was like, my whole life, I grew up watching the Braves on TBS and the Cubs on WGN. I always wanted to be a bleacher creature. So I got to be a bleacher creature, and I proudly wore my Mets gear while I was there, and we proudly got embarrassed by Chicago, which was nice. But at the same time, I was like, who can – and it was in the middle of construction, so it was kind of limited seating. But we sat dead center field in the bleachers of Wrigley, and I said, this might be my favorite ballpark.
Yeah, I've always wanted to go there. Watching the Cubs play all those years while I lived in Pittsburgh and, you know, being an NL Central guy, it's great. Oh, hold on, by the way. Hold on, something's happened. I think the Nationals just scored another run against the Mets. So I think it's like 30-5 now.
Well, the good thing is in response, the Mets actually scored one more on the Braves. So, I mean, it all evens out.
I'm sorry. The Mets are – I feel bad. I'm a big Terry Collins guy,
yeah.
And I hate what's going on with them and all these injuries, but – I had to drop the 23-5 reference in there because those guys. I don't own Anthony Rendon in fantasy this year, but I do have Bryce Harper and Daniel Murphy. So I'm glad to see that they scored all those runs because it really helps me out.
Hey, you're welcome, and I'm glad you took my favorite player in Bryce Harper because that's a no-brainer pick.
Harper's my favorite player as well. He'll be here at the end of this month. I'm going there probably twice to see him play at AT&T because I love that dude. Besides Gordon Hayward, he has the best hair in sports. If you don't know who Gordon Hayward is, look up his hair. You'll thank me later.
I'd call that a push, but only because I'm a bigger Bryce fan. But, yeah, they're both a pretty good mess of salad they got up there.
Are you – is that a Jim Rome reference? Are you shouting out Jim Rome right now, the salad reference?
What about – no, that's a hockey reference. If Jim Rome used it, then he blatantly stole it from hockey players. So, congratulations, Jim, on that one.
Rome always says it, but I think John Butchergrass always says nice salad, too.
Ah. Unfortunately, I don't watch enough of either of them. I'm not even sure either are still on TV. So, like I said, growing up a hockey fan, I've always used it as a hockey reference. So if those two use it, then, you know, congratulations on not being original, and I guess I'll still use it.
You know, I've come to a thought right now because this has been quite entertaining, but – As we say in the radio industry, we have gone off the rails here, and we need to steer back on track. And as someone that has to do that sometimes with my own job, do you want to hit the NBA playoffs? Because there's interesting stuff going on there. Well, kind of.
Go ahead. I was just gonna say, oddly enough, so, I've had the NBA playoff bracket pulled up in front of me for about 10 minutes, but we just, you know, we're going the other direction. So.
No, it's completely fine. That's what makes podcasting and radio so much fun because you never know what's going to happen. If you're a fan of the Rockets and Spurs, you're watching a great playoff run. Other than that, Boston's kind of manhandling the Wizards. The Warriors are going to sweep their way to the finals, and Cleveland probably will too. So I guess the only thing we can really talk about is Houston and San Antonio because Tony Parker is now going to be out for the rest of the season, which it's a bummer because everyone wants to see Spurs Warriors in the Western Conference Finals, but I'll take Rockets. I'm a big Daryl Morey guy, big analytics guy, so of course I want to see them. James Harden's a great player to watch, although we had this debate last time about the MVP. We're not going to get into it, so I'll leave it there. But
right. That's
the best playoff series going on. Although watching Isaiah Thomas drop 53 points on his sister's birthday, that story is just incredible, what's going on with him. I mean, for him to go out there and play like he has with all that stuff going on, major shout out to him because I mad respect to him. Not only being a small 5'9", but.
Right. I was going to say, and to top it off, to lose a tooth twice during the same game, I don't think anybody else in the history of the game has done that.
Well, not in basketball. Hockey, probably. I mean, but yeah, Isaiah Thomas had that happen to
no,
him.
No,
I don't want to smile.
In hockey, they don't put it back in. So it's probably never happened in hockey.
That's actually a fair point. I didn't think about that. They should. So it's actually funny. One of my interns is he's 7 foot tall. We call him Melvin. His name is Ryan, but we call him Melvin. he plays basketball here in San Francisco. He's 7 foot. He actually had one of his front tooth knocked out during a game. So he actually has a mouth guard where it's just he puts it in, the tooth is attached to the mouth guard. So there's days where he has the tooth and there's days where he doesn't. So Isaiah Thomas should just do that until for the time being.
Yeah, he definitely should. That'd be great. But yeah, I agree with you that. Go ahead.
No, so if he loses it, then it doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah, I mean that's the perfect solution there. I was just gonna say I definitely agree with you that Boston's got their series. Cleveland's got their series. Cleveland will easily dance over Boston. So LeBron's already booking his destination in the finals. Golden State should beat Utah. If they don't sweep them, then it'll be 4-1. I'm pretty sure they'll sweep them. Utah's not quite ready yet. And I really am kind of aiming for – I would like to see Houston beat San Antonio because for some reason I feel like the biggest matchup nightmare of the two – for the Golden State Warriors, it's Houston. And the fact that James Harden may have the chip on his shoulder that he didn't get the MVP, maybe he tries to prove something. Maybe an injury here or there shifts things the other direction. I'm not saying they could pull it off, but it's kind of the same thing I said with the Predators in the Chicago series. I'm not going to call the upset, but I'm going to say if it happens, I kind of could see it.
No, I'm with you. Houston, the one thing Houston does very well they score a lot of points. So the Warriors are arguably the best offensive and defensive team in basketball. There's no doubting that they're a great team. But with Houston, the thing that they did is they went out to bring in D'Antoni. First of all, is a great hire. No one's talking about that. The guy, he'll probably win Coach of the Year. Although I really like what Eric Spoelstra did in Miami, taking that team from being like 20 games under 500 to having them to go 500 on the season, which is great. But with D'Antoni in that offense, James Harden, being the point guard and facilitating, he contributes so much. When he's not scoring, you know, half their points are coming from him because he's creating all those points from his passing, which is great. Houston shoots so well from the three-point line. They can stay in games with the Warriors, but I think the Warriors have too much with Durant, Thompson, Curry, Green, Iguodala. You know, Houston has Harden, Gordon, Lou Williams, Clint Capella, Trevor Ariza. They have players, too. It'll be a good series. It'll be interesting to see Steve Kerr if Steve Kerr comes back. Kerr versus D'Antoni because of the whole. If you guys remember, back in the mid 2000s, when Steve Kerr was the GM of the Suns and D'Antoni was the head coach of the Suns, when that team was doing so well with Steve Nash, it's kind of the same thing now with Harden and D'Antoni. But now they'll be going up against Steve Kerr. So it'll be interesting to see. I still think it's gonna be Warriors Cavs in the finals. I think everyone sees that coming. I think that's what the NBA wants. But I want to see Rockets. I want to see Rockets and Warriors because that was the Western Finals 2 years ago, and the Warriors just ran right through them. But I really like what Houston's doing this year because they're a much better team under D'Antoni than they were under Kevin McHale. So we'll see what they do. But three-point shooting is key. They need to be able to hit their three-pointers because they weren't able to do that last night. That's why the Spurs beat them by, what was it, 25? I can't remember what the score was. But them losing Tony Parker is huge. I think that shifts the series because now they have Patty Mills, who – it's a nice piece as a backup point guard. Shout out St. Mary's, Moraga, California. But I just don't think that they're gonna have enough to beat the Rockets. I mean, Kawhi's a great player, but I think this is Houston's series to win, and they'll ultimately go on to face the Warriors.
Absolutely. And as we're finishing up here on Sports Club, we're gonna dive into the world of Major League Baseball, even though we've kind of danced around everything. Just two big issues. One, I'm going to kind of let you explain because I don't know exactly how it started. I just kind of know how it started to play out lately. But first, can we agree that Madison Bumgarner is a moron and he probably cost the Giants a good season?
Mad Bum is a god here. I've always been a fan of his. I think he gets a little overhyped sometimes.
He's a total good dude, but he's the life and he's the face of that.
No, I agree with you.
Of the Giants franchise. So the fact that he's out and they were already struggling, they already Samardzija and some of those other guys. Is Samardzija even on the Giants, or I got that backwards?
No, yeah. He is. He actually had a good start last night, but yeah, he's been a bum all year.
Oh. Yeah, but I mean, just all the other struggles they have and trying to get Hunter Pence going and trying to get all these other guys going. If you don't have Mad Bum go, the same thing's going to happen with Syndergaard and the Mets is they're going to start to plummet now. They're not even going to wait till September. But I mean, you got to know better than to be racing your dirt bike in the middle of the desert when you have a $20 million arm.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think he also cost himself a lot of money by having this happen because he's up for a new contract. I can't remember. I think it's next year, And, you know, he's a great postseason pitcher. He's one of the best I've ever seen. He's a decent regular season pitcher. His numbers are good. They're not great. He's not Kershaw. Everyone here is going to tell you he's better than Kershaw. I don't want to have that debate with anybody because he's not. So, but the Giants were already done, unfortunately. They were already done, and then him getting hurt was just the icing on the cake. He really did hurt himself. Steph Curry actually took a subtle, you know, jokingly shot at him. They asked Steph about whenever the Warriors have an off day in Utah, what do you do? He goes, "Well, I'm not gonna ride a dirt bike, you know. Sorry, Mad Bomber." He threw that shot at him, and you know, it's funny, but it's true. Like, you know, everyone's making fun of him for doing it. It's like you could add that to that list of weird, fluky injuries, and it's happened a lot to the Giants over the last like 15 years. Jeremy Affeldt cut his hand making a sandwich or opening something. Jeff Kent broke his hand walking
Jeff
his Kent. Truck. You know. So, like, there's always some weird, fluky story with them with injuries. So, if you can put this one up there, but I don't think any of these guys with caliber the Bumgarner was, because he means so much to that team. Even though his numbers weren't reflecting how good of a pitcher he is this year, that's because the team has scored any runs. So, their season, they're four games back right now. Who cares? I mean, the Dodgers are going to win that division. I mean, I know they're not playing well as they should, but they weren't going anywhere this year, and you know it's time for them to start trading pieces away. But I agree. I think Bumgarner made a really bad overall decision for everything, not including his health, his future, you know, everything going forward. So there's nothing you can really do about it. Just tell him not to do it again.
Right. Yeah. Slap his hand and go no. I mean, he's a grown man. He's either going to do it or he's not going to do it. But he, at least this point, he'll realize it cost him a lot of money. But last thing we want to hit on, and it may be short. We may have to continue this another time even. But how did this whole Boston-Baltimore thing start? And why hasn't baseball stepped in to keep it from getting as bad as it's getting?
Well, so this all started, like, I think it was a week and a half ago. Manny Machado slid into second base, and he spiked Pedroia. It really wasn't dirty. Machado has a history of being a pest. I'll put it nicely.
Right.
That's just the way he is. If anyone remembers a couple years ago with the A's, Josh Donaldson
he'd be a great Ottawa Senator.
They
have a team
Subban.
Full of annoying pests. They do. Yeah.
So he had this whole thing with Donaldson a couple years ago, and that was a huge issue. He's a hothead. So he slides in and he takes out Pedroia. It wasn't dirty. So Boston doesn't like it, and then you have the whole racial stuff going with Adam Jones, and that kind of spills the fire. Then Adam Jones gets a standing ovation the next day. Boston gives him a standing ovation. The next at bat is Manny Machado. Chris Sale throws behind him. Warnings are issued. All this happens. And then last night, Kevin Gausman, the Orioles starter, in the second inning, plunks Xander Bogaerts in the back on a curveball, immediately thrown out of the game. The umpire should not have thrown him out so quickly. It was not intentional. The whole thing is just – it's spiraling out of control. For me, I don't think baseball needs – I don't think Manfred and baseball needs to step in, because I think this is actually good for baseball, because for a league – for a sport that's so more regional than national anymore, it's actually creating national news because you have stuff like this happening. And it could be good for baseball because you have more people tuning in. If you see, I know, it's like the old adage for TV. If it bleeds, it leads. So if you see violence in baseball, people are going to tune in immediately because, like, oh, players are fighting. I want to see this happen. I'm not a particular person that likes the stuff, you know, the fighting us all the time. But it adds intrigue to a series, especially between the Red Sox and Orioles, because everyone hates the Red Sox. I mean, I don't know. You'll meet more people say they hate the Red Sox than like them. So if you see them losing and stuff happening, you want to see it. But in this case, I think the Red Sox are actually the hero and the Orioles are the villains because of everything going on. You know, here's my key. Are you a Seinfeld fan?
Yes. I've actually seen that one.
So what they need to do is Buck Showalter needs to switch the Orioles uniforms to cotton, and that'll solve the problem. If you remember
the
episode
where George
tells him to switch the uniforms to cotton, he goes, "You know what, George? I think you're onto something here." And then they win a couple of games, and then they completely just tank because the uniforms don't work. So I think it's good for baseball, but you know, people are going to disagree with me. That's fine. People don't always agree with me as it is. So story of my life. But you know, I'm a baseball purist at heart, and I understand how the game works. I played the game, so when stuff like this happens, I enjoy it because I think it adds intrigue to it, and I think it helps baseball create, you know, bring in viewers, because the NBA playoffs are on right now, and baseball is such a regional sport anymore that they need the viewers where you can get them.
Absolutely, and the fact that the NHL has had stellar game after stellar game is not helping either, even though it's regional. But, yeah, for a sport like baseball that's dying for new viewers and dying for attention, especially this early in the season when a lot of people don't tune in, you know, this actually is good. And as much as I usually argue for we need to kind of clean up baseball as far as sometimes there's too much fighting, I think there's just enough in this part here. And as a Yankees fan, I'm not real concerned with what Boston or Baltimore does as long as they stay out of our way.
You know, you mentioned the Yankees. I love what Aaron Judge is doing right now. That guy is on fire.
Yes.
With his 13 home runs. He is a mammoth of a human. I have never seen someone so freaking big in my life. And I, you know what? Although the Yankees came in and they lost, I think, 2 out of 3 to Pittsburgh, to my Pirates,
mm-hmm.
I kind of like what they're doing, going with the youth movement. It's not the Yankees, but it's not the Yankee way, because everyone's just spending all that money. So I love what Aaron Judge is doing. Sorry to go off on a side here, because I think he is a great player and a massive human, and I never want to see anyone messes him, because I'm sure he will knock someone out in a second. So.
Yeah, he might. He may moonlight as an MMA fighter.
I wouldn't doubt if he does. Being in New York, he probably is a bouncer somewhere.
That's true. Either that or he runs security for WWE, one or the other.
That could be true. We're both wrestling guys. I haven't watched it recently, but they could use some intrigue to what's going on right now. And Aaron Judge will be a great intrigue. It would be a great character to add to the intrigue, because I'm sure people will tune in.
Oh, yeah. You know, just to keep that rivalry going, WWE, this will be your one free idea. The rest of them will cost you. Why not New York Yankees, Aaron Judge versus the New England Patriots, Rob Gronkowski, at next year's WrestleMania?
Well, that's not a bad idea. You know, the best reference I ever heard in wrestling was a couple of years ago when CM Punk was going up against John Cena during the Summer of Punk, which is still arguably the greatest.
Yep.
Besides the Stone Cold era, I think that's the greatest moment in wrestling in the last probably 15 years.
Absolutely.
And when all that happened, and when he said, when Punk called John Cena, he goes, you are what you hate. You've become a dynasty. You're the New York Yankees. And Cena, you know, knocked him out. It got to him because it's true. And people love to hate the Yankees as much as they love to hate the Red Sox. And going back to wrestling, that's why I think wrestling is so boring anymore, because they lack intrigue like that. They need people like Punk back, and they need stuff like that, because we can go on for the rest of the night about how they ruined that momentum they carried that entire summer because of what they
mm-hmm.
did. So we'll say that. Maybe we'll do that next time. We'll go into why CM Punk was ruined by the WWE.
Well, and that'll give you time to catch up on some WWE, some Ring of Honor, some New Japan. Lucha Underground's not back yet, but I encourage anybody, if you're going to watch it, don't necessarily watch it live, DVR it so that you can fast forward and rewind and replay when you need to. And trust me, you'll fast forward through most of it. When you said you hadn't watched recently, I replied with you haven't missed much, because they've dropped the ball on a lot of really good things they've had going, but there is still a few things here and there where you just it's unbelievable how good a program they're running certain places.
Well, I agree with you. And, you know, the guys I like that are still around, like, you know, I was always a big Daniel Bryan guy. Now I know he's a SmackDown GM. I love that Kurt Angle's back. I was always a big Kurt Angle guy. No, it's not because he's from Pittsburgh. I've always been a Kurt Angle guy. I've always liked Kevin Owens. I've always liked I've always liked Roman, or not Roman Reigns, I can't stand him. I think he's John Cena 2.0. I've always liked Seth Rollins. I think they're wasting him, just like they wasted Punk and Daniel Bryan. And then I'm drawing a blank. Oh, and I love Bray Wyatt. They're dropping the ball
with
Bray Wyatt. When he gains all the momentum, you just throw it all away. So, by the way, who won that match with him and Orton at WrestleMania? Not WrestleMania, Payback. Who won that match with Payback? You know?
Actually, he won, but it was non-title because they swapped him over to Raw. He was one of the last-minute swaps when they did their little shakeup. But if you get a chance, go back and watch this past Monday, if you got the network, or if not, I'll give you my password. Go back and watch Monday Night Raw from this week. Kurt Angle's in the ring talking about one thing. Bray Wyatt comes out. Watch Kurt's reaction to Bray the whole time. Because Kurt's whole reaction nowadays, like, if Enzo starts talking, he just looks at him like, I have no idea what you're saying, but if you want a match, you get a match. And the way he plays off like he's so out of tune with everybody, he literally looks at Bray and like he's looking at his arms like, I'm getting chill bumps. You know what you're doing.
Yeah, well, I guess I'll have to check it out because I guess I like Angle and I'm a big Bray guy. So, and then, next time, let's get into how they dropped the ball on. I didn't watch it, but I read about it. How they dropped the ball on the Undertaker's retirement because I think that's a total joke.
Okay, and send me the link to the article you read because I don't know if it's the one I read or not. But I have my own theories, but I'd like to see what credible person said something about it. Probably Dave Meltzer, more than likely.
Yeah, that's what I usually read when I read my wrestling stuff. So that's usually where I get my information from.
Exactly. If you're going to trust the dirt sheet, make sure you're trusting the right ones. I'll just throw that out there. But, you know, we covered a lot today, and I know you need to get on and do some things. I need to pack for a trip to Athens. My brother's best friend, and he's pretty much a brother to me anyway, graduates from UGA tomorrow. So we're going to go up there and hang out and have a good time. And I know you got some fun things this weekend as well. As long as the Barracuda out there in the playoffs, enjoy that.
I was actually at the game the other night. That was a great game.
I saw that.
It was a great game. They had 54 shots and going into overtime, and they scored and they won 2-1. Who cares? They won. They're on the second round. First game tomorrow night. Games 1 and 2 are here in San Jose, so excited to see if they're playing San Diego. So I'm going to try to make it out there, but who knows? But yeah, have fun in Athens. Tell Kirby Smart I said hello. I'm a big Nick Saban guy. Tell him I said that.
If I see him, I will do that. I'll probably say it before I say my piece to him. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't see that he's got the sternness of Mark Rick. So far, I think he's a little on the softer side. But he's only been here a year, and I'm not a UGA fan. So we'll see how that pans out.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not a Georgia fan, that's fine. I've always liked Kirby Smart as a coordinator with Saban, because I'm a big Saban guy. So I hope, but with Mark Richt, I don't know why I'm going on about this. I want to see him turn Miami around. I really do.
Why we lost connection there or what happened. We're trying to get Cody back on as well. But yeah, thanks Blog Talk. I'm gonna really have to mention this one here in a few minutes as well. But we got into a lot of fun things. Hope you guys enjoyed everything. Obviously we talked draft, we talked some of the keys, we talked how I think it's a key at the dealership type deal. You know, like I said, talking draft, we talked all the other stuff, and we got Cody back on the line there. Yeah, for some reason, Blog Talk decided to screw us again right on the end of the show. I don't understand what they're doing, but I will have that conversation in a second. So go ahead and finish up what you were saying.
I said about how I think I want Mark Richt to turn Miami around. I think that it needs to happen. Cosmo was so much better when the U is actually relevant. And apparently with Blog Talk, they couldn't handle all of our hot takes today. That's why that we got disconnected.
You know, this will be the last Colin reference I make today. Well, probably not today, but at least on this show. Colin Cowherd brought up something. I don't know why everybody calls it hot takes. You know what it really is? It's called an opinion.
But sure it is.
I don't know.
Hot takes sound
funny. You know, it's everybody is so robotic nowadays, especially at the four letter. That's why they had to get rid of everybody, part of it. But everybody's so robotic and just either takes A or B side that if you have a differentiating opinion, for some reason, it's called a hot take. And I was like, I thought that was just called disagreeing with the other guy.
Pretty much. One of the best things I ever read on Twitter was Oakland A's reliever Sean Doolittle, who I actually know pretty well, has a tweet out there. It's one of the best ones I've ever read. Twitter is a lot like what happens in a 3-0 count. So many takes and so many overly aggressive big swings. That's exactly what people do on the radio, too. Hot takes are like a 3-0 count. And I love that tweet from him because it's so true.
And I will make sure I spell this right, but if you want a good follow on Twitter, you need to follow Sean Doolittle. Everybody in the audience, go do that right now. Tell him we sent you. Remember, we are Sports Club. Go hashtag Sports Club. Told me to follow you. He is at What Would Do Do. I want to make sure I spell it right. Because I know how it is. Here it is. WHATWOULDDOODO. Make sure at What Would Do Do. Make sure to go follow him. Do hashtag Sports Club or hashtag Cody and Jeremy told us to follow you. He is fantastic. I think he's a wrestling fan too. But either way, go follow him. That dude is really funny. I enjoy him when he's out there with you guys as well. And maybe we'll get him on here one day.
Another guy people want to follow on either Twitter or Instagram, follow Marquette King from the Raiders. You can thank me personally later. He is a great follow on social media.
Hashtag Sports Club, hashtag Cody told me to follow you. Go get Marquette King, too. I don't have his pulled up.
Oh, he's great. Marquette's actually a friend. He actually randomly, I was laying here the other night. I was sleeping, actually. I woke up, get up for work in the morning. I had a text message from him telling me that he's in the city and he wanted to hang out. It's like, you don't text me at 10 o'clock, man. I got to get up at 3 a.m. for work.
Oh, odd enough, here is his Twitter account. Now, make sure this is so off the radar that it will be very hard for people to remember. If you want to follow Marquette King and hashtag Sports Club, hashtag Cody and Jeremy said too, at Marquette King is his actual official Twitter. He's got the blue check mark. That is MarquetteKing. Make sure to go follow those guys. They are both fantastic and maybe future guests sometime down the road. But Cody, I know you need to head out. I got to start packing for Athens because the people I'm riding with think that 5 a.m. is a great time to start a road trip. I'm not sure what's wrong with them, but you can't drug test in the car anymore here in Georgia, I don't think. So we will digress from that one and move on. I will just take a pillow and sleep the whole time anyway.
It's actually digest, as Lorenzo Mills digest.
You know what? I didn't want to quote him too much because he is a lot bigger man than I am as far as size and physicalness. And I would, you know, if he got a run start from the West Coast to spear me over here on the East Coast, I think I would end up somewhere in India. So I'm trying not to anger him.
That's okay. He's a gentle giant. So I think he'll be okay. But enjoy your trip to Athens. I will enjoy my weekend here in the Bay. Great weather. Should be a good time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And shout out to all the fun family members and friends of us that put up with us and listen to our show. And, of course, all the fans that do as well. But I'm Jeremy York. That's Cody Elias. We will see you guys in a couple weeks for Sports Club.
It's true.